listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Hello. What is going on, everyone? This is the Local Bar Podcast. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and I could not be more happy that you are spending some time with us today. Of all the places you could be in your crazy busy lives, you have decided to spend a few moments with us. And for that, we could not be more grateful. This is the inaugural podcast of the Local Bar. This is something that I've been dreaming up for quite a while. Basically, what happened one day is I was looking at my Facebook page and I saw just all these folks that I haven't talked to in a long time. And I was thinking about the fact that I have this device that allows me to keep up with people that I haven't seen. I mean, some of these people I haven't seen since the day I was born, but I'm able to do that. And I'm able to keep up with their lives, or at least the highlights that they're showing everybody. And everything that you have from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I can see their families and how they're growing up and how they're changing. And I moved around a lot as a kid. So there are a lot of people that I haven't talked to in decades, just because of the way that I was brought up. And even though I have this incredible ability in front of me to keep up with these people, I really only use this technology to send out crappy dad jokes and cat videos. That's basically what it is. And so a few years ago, I started looking around, and there was a guy that I just happened to watch just in particular. And I kept saying to myself, you know, if I ever had a show that was bringing people together, that was introducing folks to very interesting people with a good message behind it, he would be the one that I would want to start with. And then something happened to that cat in June. And I watched his life play out, because he's one of these guys that wears his heart on his Facebook page, which is great for this type of media. And he's not overzealous. He's not like, you know, crazy aunt going nuts about Trump or anything like that. Which, by the way, I'm watching Trump last night with my girlfriend and my best friend. We're sitting around watching him speak. And my best friend's really into him. And I can understand where Trump speaks to a lot of people. But as I'm listening to him speak, the only thing I can think of is, What Batman show did I miss where he was a villain? That's exactly what he looks like to me whenever he talks. He looks like some Batman villain. It's the craziest thing in the world to watch him speak. Anyway, I watched this guy go through something that I thought was pretty harsh. And then as things unfolded, I watched not only his drive and determination, but his incredible amount of luck, and I won't say just luck, but the ability to make the most out of an opportunity come to life. And I thought, you know what? Forget it. I've put this podcast off for way too long. I've always got a reason to not do it. I've always got something. You know, I don't have the time. I don't have the right people to bring on board. I don't have anything that I think is very interesting to say. And when I sat down, I thought, you know what? No, I do. And even today, right now, I don't know if you can hear this or not, I have a cold. I woke up this morning feeling absolutely terrible. But I thought, you know what? That's just another excuse. I have to get this off the ground. And it is because of this guy. It's because of what I learned from this guy that I thought was a great message to bring to everybody else. Now, let me tell you why I want to introduce you to this cat. Because the holidays are right around the corner. And we're going to talk about this from week to week. I'm sure there are going to be a couple of things that will come up around the holidays, since this show is being launched in the holiday season. But there is something that I think plays very well with what Scott's message is. The holidays are a difficult time for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. I mean, yes, we get to see family. Yes, we get to get around each other. But that also causes chaos in our lives. You have, you know, scheduling the time, and then you've got the financial issue with Christmas presents, and then you've got all this other stuff that goes on as far as, you know, work is trying to get everything done by the end of the year, and all you're trying to do is make sure you're balancing work and life, and this is the one time of year you're supposed to be together, and you just can't do it because it's crazy. I understand all that. There's another part of it, too, where life is just weird. I'm a divorced dad. The holidays are very strange for me. They're very lonely at times. I mean, I get to spend moments with my daughter, and it's wonderful, and it really reminds me of what it's all about. I get to spend time with friends, but there's a lot of in between, because I just, quite frankly, don't fit in everywhere like I used to. It's kind of sad and it's kind of difficult, but I have learned to make the most of it because of a couple of truths that I've learned to live with over the past couple of years. And I want to share that with you after the interview. I think it's very important that you listen to Scott and what he's been through and what he's doing and how he's making the most of it. He's a very interesting guy with an incredibly interesting story. And I'm going to tell you, I already know we're going to get emails about this. I'm going to make sure that there's a follow-up with Scott somewhere in the very near future. Now, not only is I know it's a little bit annoying that I have a cold, this interview is not the best audio. I just want to go ahead and let everybody know. Scott is very hard to nail down because of what he's doing. So I had to actually catch him on his cell phone driving back from Atlanta in the rain last night. So you got to hear a little bit of mishmash here and there. There's a part where the call drops. I'm going to try to edit that out the best I can. Just deal with it. Yeah, I know, big professional interviewer here, right? But the message is fantastic. And then on the other side, I want to talk a little bit about what I think are some things to carry forward, not only from Scott's message, but through the holidays, especially for all of you that are dealing with something that's just a little uncomfortable. And for the rest of you that know people that are in that situation too. So if you do want to join the show, if you've got someone that you think would be an interesting person for us to interview, you know someone's got a cool message, somebody that really could put something neat out there, feel free to email us at localbarmail@gmail.com. Again, that's localbarmail@gmail.com. Oh my God, that's almost even impossible to say when you have a cold. So I hope you got that. Here is my interview with Scott, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. All right, joining me today is actually an old friend of mine, a guy that I haven't. When I say old friend, I'm talking like I haven't seen this cat, I don't think, since I was like about 15 or 16 years old. Scott Kelly is on the line with me. Scott, how are you doing, man?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
Doing good. The very tired Scott Kelly. I'll put that in.
Exactly.
Been working his tail off. Scott, you and I go back to Florence. Your family moved to Florence somewhere in the early 90s, I guess. I guess we had moved there, and you guys had just moved. I was there maybe 2 years before you guys moved there, I want to say.
I moved there in seventh grade, so you would have been in eighth grade at the time, and your dad was was doing youth group the first day I showed up.
Okay. Well, and that didn't
so
chase you away.
Back in all of the middle school band stuff and everything back in the day, too.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know how I don't know how Dad didn't chase you away that first youth group trip. But that's nice. I guess he had no choice with the family. Well, Scott, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on is because a couple of reasons. Just a gratuitous thing for me. I want to catch up with some friends of mine. But the other thing is, there's something about you, something that you're doing that it's very impressive to me. But it's kind of born out of something that I seem to have conversations with people about all the time. And really, instead of just kind of like teasing this, I want to get right to it. You know, you have something that you deal with. I think it's got to be in your brain, at least on a daily basis. I don't know how you overcome it. It's something that's probably plagued you for a very long time, and that is being a Cleveland Browns fan. Are you there? Yeah, well, you know, with my Cowboys and your Browns, we're kind of shoring up the toilet bowl, I think, this season.
Well, I never have any hope. You know, we get all hope at the beginning of every year.
I've seen a Super Bowl before. I just don't think I'm ever going to see another one again. That's the difference, I think, between
the
two teams.
Well, I take the Browns to the Super Bowl every once in a while, but that's about all they
do. That's right. No kidding. No, Scott, you have been, over the past couple of months, ever since June, you have set out on this kind of incredible journey that I've been able to watch over Facebook, where you have essentially started an acting career for yourself. And there's this guy from Florence that I knew that, you know, give you a little kid that, you know, I'll only remember 15-year-old self of you. I'm looking at your IMDb page. First of all, I'm amazed that you have an IMDb page.
Second, I see that it says you're 6 feet tall. I don't remember 6 foot tall Scott Kelly. So it's you know,
I sprouted the last few years. I'm right at 6 now.
I bet. So, well, so you're like, you kind of catch me up and let everybody know what you're doing right now. As you, I am catching you driving back from Atlanta to your home about 3 or 4 hours away. What exactly are you doing? What are you up to now?
Well, to make a long story short, I've been a college professor for 15 years, and I did some theater back in college, not a whole lot. I got laid off of my teaching job by a for-profit school back in June. I had some friends who've been doing, you know, entertainment stuff for a while. A couple of friends who were on Walking Dead, like a guy named Greg French and another person named Amber Dawn Fox. And I had a good friend who was on Supernatural named Kim Rhodes. And they had all kind of been pushing me into it for a while. And then all of a sudden I saw Danny McBride show, you know, who I'm obsessed with these stuff. Now I'm filming down in Charleston. So, you know, I was laid off, didn't have anything else to do, get severance for a while. So I started doing a little bit, and like everybody and stuff. And then it just absolutely just took off out of nowhere because I've just been driving like a nut. About 2 months ago, in almost no time, I got an agent. And the last few weeks have been absolutely bonkers. A few weeks ago, you know, I got a good spot on a major movie that they directly put on up in Virginia. And then today, you know, I show up on set and I get a major bump, and it's gonna be a pretty funny movie. And unfortunately, I had to sign a bunch of paperwork, so I couldn't talk about it much. But it's just sure. been, you know, it's just been a lot of driving to Atlanta, a lot of things of. Let's just say not getting any sleep and, you know, not making any money. Now I'm starting to make a little bit, you know, get some better roles and stuff. But I can't even catch up with it sometimes.
Well, tell me, all right, so give me an idea really quick. I mean, I know you can't talk about movies, and I understand that, or whatever you're working on. Because I completely get the confidentiality thing, because I'm sure when you're working with Mr. Lucas there, and that's where you're really going, you definitely can't talk about it. No, but tell me about, like, when you go on set, like, you've gotten a little bit in here. We're going to kind of work backwards, but tell me about, like, today. When you go on set, what's that day like? Is it all done pretty much in a day, or are you going to be making, like, a multiple trips back, or does it kind of just depend on the role that you get?
It depends. Today was what you would call a day player role, which is I show up sometimes, you know, some of the roles are speaking, some roles aren't. Today was speaking. I did not get the script until, you know, because I didn't know I was going to be speaking until I actually got set, probably about 6:45 or 7. So I got there at 7, you know, I see wardrobe. You know, for if you were doing background stuff, you bring your own wardrobe. Look for this. You know, they had to pick me out wardrobe, got dressed, sat on set, looked at everything, looked at the script for a couple hours, get into rehearsal, and then pretty much what you're talking about, a 30-second scene, I would say at most, today took us 6-7 hours. Because you're talking about cameras. You're talking about cameras from swap. You know, sometimes you have 2 or 3 cameras going at one time. You're probably talking about 2, 3, 4 at different angles, you know, from each side, from the front and from the back. If you have it on a dolly or a roller, then you have to pick up all of these what look like train tracks and move them. Sometimes you have cranes. But it's basically, you know, doing the same thing probably about 20 to 25 times in a 6 to 8 hour period to get 30 seconds worth of footage.
Wow.
It's a blast. Like, you know, some of the people I'm around today were absolutely, you know, incredible, because you're talking about, you know, big name people who, you know, you see them on, you know, it's just, you know, the one guy today has been a lot of stuff and just happened to be a normal guy, had his kid on set. So, you know,
yeah,
it's a lot of work, but at the same time, you know, it's fun. You know, this is the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. And you get to see a different side of, you know, some of these celebrities. You know, they're normal kinds of people. You know, they like to have a good time. They love their family and things like that as well.
That's cool. That's neat to see. All right, so you get a chance to, like, meet a bunch of really neat people. I mean, I don't mean to sound like all fanboyish here, but I mean, you do. You get to not only just meet, but you're interacting. You're putting in a full day at the office with these other folks. So you're getting to know these people. You know, in their own skin with who they are. Are most of the actors you deal with, are they pretty cool like that? Do you ever run into, how about this? Do you ever run into any, like, method actors that kind of drive everybody crazy? Or do they drive people as crazy on set as I want to believe they do?
I've seen a couple different kinds of people. You see those experienced people who can basically just walk into a scene, take 2 seconds, and boom, they're ready to roll.
Really?
Some of these may have been no problems. Walter Goggins, who's had down at a vice principal, who's best known for being Boy Crowder and Justified.
Yeah.
So they tell him something to do. He's like, give me 2 seconds. Boom, he's ready to go. And I'm on another set, and you see a guy named Scoopy Mary. He's been in a Hall of Catch Fire and stuff. And he's getting ready for his scene, and he sits there, and he's supposed to be some kind of gangster. He's slapping himself in the face, rubbing his eyes, punching himself in the stomach for 30 to 45 seconds to get himself prepped, ready to go. Then you see other people who basically, when you see them get ready, you don't say a word to them. One guy today, eyes closed, head down for about 45 seconds before scene rolled. So you see all different kinds. You see some people who are the nicest people in the world. Danny McBride is one of the coolest, dudes in the world. He goes around, talks to everybody. Whether it's an extra, whether it's a day player, whether it's another cast member. We had somebody else down in Charleston, Dale Dickey, who's an older woman. She was the hooker on My Name is Earl.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple other things, too.
Yeah.
And she is the absolute sweetest woman in the world. And then you see some other people who basically are the biggest pricks you have ever met your entire life.
Really?
We had a director on set one day, and I can't say enough.
Yeah.
That's basically, the meeting a cameraman because of his country of origin. And it was just absolutely like, holy cow. You see all kinds. You were gracious for everybody around them, people who think the world, everybody should worship the ground they walk on. So it's all different kinds, but every day I'm on set, I just try to learn something different. And then sometimes the things I learn is how not to treat people, and sometimes this is how you should treat people.
What is the top couple of things that you've said, that's my big takeaway. That's what's going to make me not only a good actor, but someone that people are going to work with. What are the biggest things you've taken away from that perspective?
The first one is don't be creepy. and that pretty much applies to all of your life.
Yeah.
When you're on set, don't be creepy. Don't go around for instance, we had somebody when I was doing something last week called standing in, which is, when they set up cameras, instead of having primary actors stand there for 2 or 3 hours to set up the camera, they hire people to stand in their place to set up the camera. And we had one background guy who was just going up to one of the primaries and just having a normal conversation, which is one of the big no-nos. Respect people's space, respect people's methods. If somebody comes up, that's fine. But, just stay in your space, handle your business, don't worry about anybody else's business. And number two, the one thing I've learned already, and this is how I've been my entire life, is if you outwork everybody, if you're willing to do things that other people won't do, it may not happen overnight, but eventually, you're going to start to get ahead of other people. And I know people who have been, trying to get somewhere for, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to go that extra step. Where me right now, even if I lose money on a trip, if it's another line for a resume, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. The title, the original posting of what I did today, some people probably looked at it and said, oh, that sounds juvenile.
Sure.
Sounds funny. Heck to me. So, I get up at 2 a.m, I drive straight, make a little bit of money, drive straight home, go to sleep. And if they call me in the morning, I might go right back.
Yeah.
Those are probably the two things. Again, don't be creepy, respect other people. And then if you outwork everybody else, eventually, it may not happen overnight, but eventually you'll start to get breaks.
That kind of ties into what I want to ask you next. I'm impressed with your career you had before acting. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You got your PhD in economics from the University of South Carolina. You're a professor for over 15 years. You're a basketball coach. I mean, you're obviously a hardworking guy. You had minors and and math, political science, and history. I mean, geez, Scott, like, leave something for the rest of us. You know, we'd appreciate it.
So a funny story, and I don't know if he's going to listen to this or not, but I remember John Turner from Florence. His wife, I used to run into at all kinds of business events. And I hadn't seen John in a while, and I saw her, and I was telling her, and she apparently went home and told John that she saw me. And she said, and I quote, "Scott Kelly has a bleeping PhD," or something like that. And if you know John, that just sounds pretty typical coming from him. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I just
can't stand sitting still.
Well, that's obvious from what you've done there, and you had a successful career going up. Here's one of the things that excites me though to talk to you, because I think getting to talk to you right now is kind of a unique time, not just because of what you're doing with acting, but it's, you know, every now and then we come across people that are at this kind of pivotal point in their life where you don't always get a chance to really kind of capture it. One of the things, and I want to take you back from my perspective, and you fill in the gaps here. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm right. I'm looking on Facebook. I see this guy that I've known for a while, but haven't talked to in freaking forever. I know what you're doing with basketball. I know what you're doing with school. And then all of a sudden, something blows up. You have it on your Facebook page that you won't be at the university anymore, that you're not doing that. And I could tell that it had come as a surprise because it came like in June. Yeah, and it was crazy. What I think's funny is the way things lined up. I know you talked about your friends in the beginning that are in the industry that have talked to you about it. But you were at some Comic Con, Nerd Con, Geek Con, something like that we all know and love, somewhere not long before you got your first gig. Now tell me how that lined up, and was that kick in the pants that really made you say, you know what, I've got to give this a shot?
Well, it was before that, 2 weeks before that. So mid-May, we have XCon Myrtle Beach. And my buddy Robin Roberts runs that, and that's where I met my buddy Greg French a couple of years back. And that's where I first started to learn how to get into it from Amber. And Amber, Greg, and I are working on a zombie web series in Myrtle Beach right now. And she, in the middle of the course of just a panel, gave out the information about how you could start hunting stuff. Now, we had no idea. My wife and I bookmarked it. 2 weeks later, I go up to a Comic-Con. It's North Carolina. It's Charlotte Comic-Con. It's one of those up in Charlotte. And I had breakfast one morning. I won some kind of contest. One morning, I had breakfast with Doug Jones, who's the absolute sweetest man you will ever meet your whole life. And then the next morning, we had a combined breakfast where I was at the breakfast with Joel Hodgkin, who's from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and also Michael Hogan, who was Saul Tye and Battlestar Galactica, and they're just running everything together. And somebody asked, you know, Joel Hodgkin, you know, he's done a lot of conventions, well, what's the one question you get asked all the time that you just wish people would shut up and never ask again? And he's like, well, you know, it's always everybody always asks me, what movie do you wish you could spoof? So I just looked straight at Michael Hogan, and anybody who's a Battlestar fan will get things, and I look straight at him and straight face, say, what was Starbuck? And he just spit his water all over the breakfast table everywhere. And Joel Hodgkin made an innocent comment about, you can't teach comedic timing like that. And then over the next few days is when I started looking at the casting calls more. And then, you know, right after that was when I booked, and it was starting its regular background as Founder, which was a Michael Keaton movie about Sonic McDonald's. And then shortly thereafter is when I got laid off. I probably get another month of background. Somehow I got a very good agent out of Wilmington right away, and it's just been going so fast ever since then. I can't even keep up with it myself half the time.
Wow. All right, so one breakfast meeting, one chance breakfast meeting kind of set things off.
The confidence or the push to do it.
Well, so here you go. Here you go. Being a college professor, you've worked. You've got all these degrees. You've been doing all that. I mean, not to say that you weren't passionate about it. You obviously are, in order to be that successful with it. But there's always been something that I would guess has been underlying for a career like this. Do you think without I don't know if this is really fair to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you think,
do you think
without the surprise from the university and it changing your life for you, how long do you think it would take you to get where you are today? Do you think you would be where you are today, or do you think you would still be holding on? Do you think that that event really put the wheels in motion for you?
It probably would have taken me the minimum of 2 to 3 years and several speaking roles to get a good agent. You know, not one of those fly-by-night ones you have to pay. I'm going like a legit agent. But because I didn't have anything else to do and I'm going nonstop, some days I'm working 4 to 5 days a week in different cities. I remember one day, I was in Atlanta Monday morning, drove straight from Atlanta to Macon, Georgia on Tuesday, Savannah on Wednesday, got home Wednesday night, got a call to go to Charleston on Thursday, and then I had a court read in Myrtle Beach on Friday for an audition. And if I had a job, there's no way on God's green earth I could have done any of that. So, you know, I've had, you know, plenty of time to where basically in what should have taken me a couple of years, it took me 2 months or so. And at the same time, I'm not going to lie, I'm scared to death right now.
For sure.
I always told people I wasn't afraid of failing. I was afraid of what would happen if I could actually do it.
Yeah.
So I'm at that point now where I'm like, oh, I can kind of do it now.
What do you think it holds for you? I mean, you are seeing success. I mean, you're picking up roles. I mean, it's happening. When you say it's something that you're afraid of, what is it that worries you about this success that you're seeing now and what you think will be right around the corner?
I guess it's just the unknown. I've always been one of those people who've been set in stone, where I always would want to know everything that would happen to me. I would have to plan everything, you know, just teach everything ahead of time, you know. When I was teaching and coaching college ball at the same time, you'd have to game plan games ahead of time. I've always been one of those people where I would know everything that would happen, or I would plan it out, you know, week or month ahead of time. You know, when I'm teaching for a 10-week course, I know what I'm doing basically every single day as the quarter goes on. And right now, from day to day, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like yesterday, we were planning to do this yesterday. I'm like, oh, crap, I got to go to sleep. I got to go lay in the morning.
Right.
And, you know, right now, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I know I'm probably, at this point, I'm just staying at home tomorrow. But, you know, I might get an audition this week for something that might film next week or might film in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what's happening. I have no clue. And I know what I would like to have. I'd like to be on Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when it films in I do have no clue what I'm going to do. I have no clue after January how I'm paying my bills.
Right.
So it's a big change for me.
Well, I'll tell you this, Scott, and again, I want to let you know how much I appreciate being able to talk to you, and it's kind of neat getting an inside look here, and I'm something tells me we're going to have a follow-up to this somewhere down the line where we can talk a little bit more in depth, and we'll see what kind of emails or anything we get from this. I tell you what I'm the most impressed with, though. I love how, you know, you were dealt a certain hand. You got a couple of cards here in your back pocket. You don't know whether you're going to play them or not, and you're playing them, and you're playing the hell out of them. And you're doing one hell of a job to pick up roles, to do you know, what you can to further this dream. And you're seeing the success. And I'm going to tell you, I can see from your 45 freaking diplomas that you have that I'm sure you're going to keep pursuing this in a very good way, in a hardworking way. But you're also a really good guy. And it's fun to see guys like you do well. It's always been, you know, just to say in passing here, too, in closing, you know, I've seen the work that you do with animals and stuff like that. I think that says a lot about you. That's always been something that's close to my heart. I think you've done a great job with that. It's always great to see nice guys do well. And, Scott, I think your talent, your drive, it's going to take you somewhere really neat. And I just hope you keep this phone number in your phone so you can come and help my measly podcast out every now and then whenever I need a big interview with a bigwig, man. But, Scott, thanks so much for coming on, man. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, brother, it's been a long time since I followed you and Dan around like a lost puppy at spring mate, so I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, anytime you want to come follow me around like a lost puppy, that'd be great. It'd look a little weird, but we'd have some fun with it for you. Scott Kelly.
Sounds good, brother.
Yeah, Scott Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. Look for him on his IMDb. Blah, let me try that again. Look for him on his IMDb page and maybe a show, movie, or series coming to you soon. Thanks again, Scott.
Thank you, sir.
I used to know you when we were young. You were in all my dreams. We sat together in period one, Fridays at 8:15. I see your face in the strangest places, movies and magazines. And I saw you talking to Christopher Walken on my TV screen. And I will wait for you.
You know, you gotta love a story like that. Like, once again, Scott Kelly, you can find him on IMDb. He is going to be in a couple of things upcoming here soon. And I'm sure we'll have a follow-up with him. But you got to love a story like that. I mean, here's this guy. We didn't really talk about it that much. But I'll tell you that when he was let go from his position at the university, it was a complete surprise. It's just one of those things that happens. And he could have let that just – I'm sure it hurt. I'm sure he had a bad time for a couple of days. But he turned around and decided he was going to make something happen. My best friend did this. He had the company that we both work for. He was one of the most successful people in that company. Did a great job for him, and then they just up and just let him go. The company's falling apart, and we're seeing now they just made a string of bad decisions. Obviously, letting him go with the money that he was saving them and what he was doing probably hurt them. And he could have sat and he could have been upset about it, but he didn't. He just went out and decided to start his own company, and he's doing a great job. You know, it's one of those things when you see successful people, rarely do you ever meet a successful person that hasn't had something that could have been traumatic happen to them. Scott's career as a professor changed greatly that day that he was let go. I mean, that goes without saying. But he looked at it and decided, you know what? I want to do something else. You know, he had dreamed about being an actor for the longest time. And it wasn't until that moment happened that he could have sat and sulked. He could have been down on himself, but he didn't. He decided to look around and said, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. And right now, you know, we're watching Scott put in, you know, the long hours and roll up the sleeves and drive 4 or 5 hours back and forth in a day in order to get a gig somewhere. And I'm so impressed watching. There's a couple of things that I really took away from what Scott said. Number one, I do think you shouldn't be creepy. Oh, it's great advice for any of us. Number two, the thing where he said, I will do the jobs that other people want. I think we forget that sometimes. My grandfather used to tell me that if you really want to move up in the world, make yourself invaluable to the company and the people that you're around. And a lot of times that means doing the stuff that other people just won't do. I mean, are you really too good for any job? I mean, nobody is. So why not go out there and just do the stuff that everybody else will pass over? Yeah, I bet that even if Scott makes it big one day, which I'm sure he will, even those small jobs, I bet he'll go and do them every now and then just because he's that kind of guy. And he's going to always hold on to what, you know, where he came from. And he'll always remember that. Like I said at the top of the show, you know, the holidays come around and a lot of us look at where we are in our lives. And sometimes we're upset about it. The holidays kind of cause you to be a little bit more introspective, I think, than the rest of the year. And a lot of times for some of you, you'll find yourself alone. Some of us, you know, look at what's going on in our lives and we're not really where we want to be. And the holidays seem to just magnify that. I want to tell you the reason why I wanted Scott to come on here was to tell any of you that there's something that you really need to pay attention to. Number one, I will say this, is advice that I got from my father a few years ago. Don't spend the holidays alone. As a guy who's done that, I will tell you, it's a very bad idea. There are friends, there are people out there, there are places you can go. Don't spend the holidays alone. That's one of the worst things you can do. But for any of us that are going through a hard time right now, or you're just looking at your life saying, you know, I've just been dealt a bad hand. What in the world am I going to do? Well, there's three things I want to tell you. Number one, you have to understand that bad things just happen. Someone asked me a long time ago that question I think we all ask at some point in our lives or multiple times in our lives. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that's a very easy answer if you sit and think about it. Bad things happen to good people because bad things happen to all people. It's just part of life. It's just what happens. I think you can't sit back and sulk and say, oh, here comes another bad thing that's coming my way again. You just got to understand that they're going to be there. And at no point in your life are you going to have this easy sailing for the rest of your life where nothing bad happens. It's just part of life. You have to deal with them. But the great thing about bad things, when you look at a guy like Scott, is sometimes they bring along an opportunity. Sometimes that little thing that's been in the back of your head that you're like, maybe I need to get started on that. Maybe it's a time to get it going. I'll be quite honest with you. That's why this podcast is even on the air right now. Look around. Look at the people that care about you. Find a way to pick yourself up, but also think, you know, am I missing out on an opportunity? So in other words, play the hand you're dealt. Don't fold it. Look at the cards you got and figure out what is the best way you can make the most out of it. I bet if you sit and think, you can figure it out. And number three, don't miss the opportunity to be happy. Look, you can't control everything that happens to you, but you certainly can control what your attitude is towards it. You can really choose to be positive or negative about something. I mean, yes, your initial reaction is just your initial reaction, but you can choose to be positive or negative. Choose to be positive. Why the hell not? I mean, what is being negative gonna help anybody? Scott could have very easily been negative about his job. He could have sat there and said, well, I'll just wait, or I'll just figure it out until somebody comes along and picks me back up as a professor. I mean, I've done all this. I've got all these degrees. Why won't someone else pick me back up? But he didn't. He looked around and said, you know what? Screw this. I'm not happy. To be honest with you, being a teacher isn't making me happy. There's something else that I want out of life. And he was honest with himself. He kept a positive attitude about it. He keeps a positive attitude now. I mean, guy's been turned down for jobs. I see it happen to him on Facebook. He gets turned down for jobs, but he stays with it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the best thing you can do. No matter what is going on in your life, understand that you're going to get through it. But the only way you're going to get through it is if you are positive and you believe in yourself. Because that is what matters most. When no one else believes in you, as long as you've got yourself on your side, you're going to make it. Tough time of year with the holidays coming around. It magnifies that, like I said. Don't let it get you down. If you're going through a hard time right now, think about a guy like Scott. Look around for your opportunities. Think about something different. Try to figure out where you really want to be in your life, and then go make it happen. Thank you again for joining us on the Local Bar Podcast. We hope to see you again next week. If you want to be part of the show, you can reach out to us at localbarmail@gmail.com. Again, that's localbarmail@gmail.com. We plan on this hitting the Pod Center once a week. Maybe on Wednesday will be our drop day. Either way, thank you again so much for spending time with us. We hope you got something out of it. Your tab's been picked up by the bar. You go out and have a great day. Take care.